Gives me pleasure then, brethren and sisters, to call on Brother Peter to come forward and give us that word in season. Brother Peter.
Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. So by way of exaltation today, we're going to be considering King Asa, and we'll be considering the theme in his life of seeking the Lord. And we'll find as we look at the life of King Asa, that this theme of seeking the Lord occurs many times throughout his life. Hopefully, as we consider his life together, we'll gain exaltation and encouragement so that we can be better servants of the Lord. So let's start in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 1, where we read a little bit of the context of Asa. So 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 1. So we read in verse 1, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. So although we don't read of it in 2 Chronicles, we know from 1 Kings that Asa's father, who was called Abijah, he's also called Abijim in 1 Kings 15, was not a particularly good example for Asa. So we read in 1 Kings 15 and verse 3, and this is about Abijah. "And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father was." But what's interesting, though, is that for David's sake, Abijah was allowed to have a son, Asa, who would reign after him. If we continue to read in 1 Kings 15 and verse 4, "Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem." So Asa's mother was evidently not much of an example for Asa either, because he removes her from being queen because of her idol worship. So we see then that Asa comes to reign at a time when the nation of Judah were really at a very spiritually low point. They lacked the leadership that they required to turn to God once again. So we know this because if we read in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 3, we see a comment about the state of Judah at this time. So 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 3. "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." So coming back to chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, we see that Asa stood out in contrast to the description of his father that we've just read. So 2 Chronicles 14, I'm reading verses 2 and 3. "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." So we can see then from the very start of his reign that Asa did that which was right, which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And the consequence of him doing that was that the land was quiet 10 years. So Judah had 10 years of peace. So this phrase that we read about Asa, that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, this brings us back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you could turn there with me, please. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see that Moses emphasizes the commandments which the children of Israel were to obey as they went in and possessed the land. So we see in verse 18 our link with King Asa. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. "And thou shalt do which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. So just remember, Asa was doing that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And also just to note, the words sight and eyes are different English translations of the same Hebrew word, so they're interchangeable. So if we continue reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18, we see the consequence of being obedient to this command that Moses was giving, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And we know from reading verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 that this phrase, that it may be well with thee, also applied to the people of Israel when they'd gone into the land. So we can see in Deuteronomy chapter 6 the following principle is established. If the children of Israel were obedient, then it would be well with them in the land. And when we come back to consider the life of King Asa, we see that this principle is worked out in his early life. So if you come back with me to 2 Chronicles 14. So 2 Chronicles 14, and we can see, as I was saying, that things were going well with Asa because he'd kept God's commands. So we have this emphasized by the repetition of several phrases. So we read in verse 1, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. And then we read in verse 5, the kingdom was quiet before him. We read in verse 6, for the land had rest and had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. And finally we read in verse 7, he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So the key verse for us amongst those is verse 6. For the land had rest and had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. The Lord had given him rest. As a consequence of Asa's righteous actions, the Lord gave the land rest and allowed it to prosper, just as he said he would do in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that it may be well with thee. So what exactly did Asa do in order for the land to have rest and for it to prosper? So we've already read a little bit about this, haven't we? His first act of king was to remove the idolatry from throughout the land of Judah. So we read in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 3, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves. And then in verse 5, and he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So in his actions we can see that the blueprints for other righteous and faithful kings of Judah, which was to rid the land of idolatry and restore their relationship with God. We see similar actions in the life of Hezekiah and Josiah, for instance. And there is, of course, a lesson for us there, isn't there? If we are to develop our relationship with God, then we mustn't be distracted by the idols of the world around us, whatever these idols may be, and they're probably different for each of us. But instead, we must focus on ensuring that our lives are free from anything that takes our attention away from God and from serving him. So coming back to Asa, we find that his second recorded act is to give Judah a command to seek the Lord. And we'll see, as I said, that this theme of seeking the Lord is a reoccurring theme throughout his life. So just note the number of times we see the word seek or sought occurring in 2 Chronicles 14, 15 and 16. So we find it occurs 8 times. So in 2 Chronicles 14, we find it in verse 4 and in verse 7. And then we also find it in 2 Chronicles 15 as well, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Yeah, in chapter 15 we find it in verses 2, 4, 12 and 13, and we find it in verse 12 of chapter 16. So we also find that this word bookends the description of Asa's life. So it occurs near the beginning of his life and towards the end of his reign. So just coming back to 2 Chronicles 14, And in verse 4, we see that this is where we first find the word seek used. So 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 4. And Asa, this is, commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So here we see that Asa, as leader of Judah, was trying to turn the people back to God and to be obedient once again to his law and his commandments. And we find that this word seek implies an active process. In other words, Asa's command was a call to action. The people of Judah needed to start to actively seek out and inquire of the Lord and his law. And we know from 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 3 that this command was absolutely vital because the people had not sought God or his law. As we read, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." So we see that as well as commanding the people to do this, Asa demonstrates one of the ways in which the people could seek the Lord, which was through prayer. So come down with me to verse 9 of chapter 14. So we see that Asa enacts this principle of seeking the Lord. So in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 14, we read, "And there came against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah." So Asa is confronted with a massive Ethiopian army of over 1,000,000. And it's no coincidence, of course, that we're given the size of Asa's army in comparison to the verse before. So we read that Asa had an army of 580,000 in verse 8. So that's an army of over 1,000,000 against one pretty much half its size and without any chariots. So it's pretty tough odds, isn't it, in human terms. But how does Asa react to this then, this difficult situation? He does just exactly what he's commanded the people to do. He seeks the Lord. So we read in verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee." So we see here that Asa demonstrates one of the ways in which the people could seek the Lord, which is through prayer. He calls out to the Lord at this critical time, and the Lord answers his prayer. So here we have an example of perfect trust and reliance on the Lord. And Asa demonstrates to the people that his confidence in the Lord is total. His righteous actions are then rewarded in verses 12 and 15. And just note that it's not Asa's army which initially does the fighting, it's the Lord. So we read in verses 12 to 15, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about. For the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem." So what's interesting to note from this as well is that with the Lord fighting for them, Judah don't just defeat them, they totally overwhelm the Ethiopians. As we've read, the Ethiopians could not recover themselves, and Asa carried away very much spoil, and the cities had exceeding much spoil in them. So what we can see then is God's word is clearly emphasizing that if we trust in him, he will deliver us. And this is ultimately a great comfort to us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? So we are likely to find ourselves in difficult situations in our lives, and we all have different trials, don't we? We may at times feel worried, frightened, even helpless. However, we don't need to be any of these things because we know that ultimately God will deliver us if we trust in him and if we seek him in prayer. So we can perhaps call the example of Asa to mind in these situations and emulate his ways. So continuing on with this theme of seeking the Lord, we see in verse 15 that Azariah, the son of Oded, arrives to deliver word from God. So 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2. And he went out to Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, the Lord is with you, while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So Asa's just had a really clear example of this lesson, hasn't he? He's sought the Lord, and he's been delivered from the Ethiopians, and he's been allowed to take a great spoil. However, we see it's emphasized again to him by the prophet of the Lord. Seek him, he will be found of you. And of course, this is emphasized for us too, isn't it, brothers and sisters? How often do we pray about a situation or turn to God's word? Is it often not our first, it's often not our first port of call, is it? But the lesson is clear. If we seek God, he will be found, and it's something that we should try to apply in our lives. So continuing on in verse 7, we see that Azariah has further words of encouragement for Asa. And again, we see this word seek or sought coming up. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, and your work shall be rewarded. We see that Asa reacts very positively to this, and he removes more of the idolatry from throughout the land. And he also re-establishes the altar of the Lord. So, reading from verse 8. And Asa... Sorry, verse 8, yeah, of 2 Chronicles 15, I was in chapter 14. Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So we can see that Asa was encouraged by this message from the Lord. And he removes the idolatry from throughout the land and helps reinstitute the worship of the Lord, which we have seen was lacking. He then goes further and gathers all the people together to sacrifice to the Lord, and they enter into a covenant with the Lord. And once again, we see this theme of seeking the Lord appears in the life of this faithful man. So reading from verses 9 to 13 of 2 Chronicles 15. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord his God was with them. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So we can really see the importance that Asa puts on seeking the Lord. So we can see that he gathers all of the people and the strangers that were among them to enter into this covenant, not only to seek the Lord, but to do it with all their heart and soul. We can also see a progression in the life of Asa, as he becomes more emphatic that the people should seek the Lord, and progressively they seem more willing to do so. So we read earlier on in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 12 that Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and commandment. And then we've just read in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12 that they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. So we can see this progression from a commandment to a covenant which was very binding, which if it was broken would be punishable by death without exception. So this just shows how strongly Asa wanted the people to seek the Lord. We also see that Asa is re-establishing the principle which Moses taught in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And it's a principle that we find throughout the Bible. So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with me, please. So we see in Deuteronomy 4 the exact same phrase that we've been considering in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12. in particular to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we see that Moses is outlining to the children of Israel the consequences of obedience and disobedience. And we read in verse 27 that if they were disobedient, they would be scattered. But even in this state, there was hope. So verse 29 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So this is the principle that we've seen woven throughout the life of King Asa. We can see then that in the life of Asa, God is providing the people with a righteous king and prophets, and they're all saying exactly the same thing. Seek God and you will find him. Turn away from your idol worship, or as we know, God will forsake you. So thinking about this theme, if we move a little beyond the life of King Asa, we see that God did forsake Israel, and yet his promise is still there. God is so merciful, isn't he? And his promises are eternal. And that is wonderfully encouraging for us. So if you come with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, we find the children of Israel have been carried away captive into Babylon because of their disobedience. So Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 12 to 14. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations, from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So the promise is still there for us too, isn't it, brothers and sisters? If the children of Israel were to seek God in prayer, God would listen and be found of them. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Then finally on this theme, just come over with me to Luke chapter 11. I'm sure you'll be familiar with these words. So Luke chapter 11, and we know from verse 1 that Jesus' comments are about prayer. And then coming down to our key verses, verses 9 to 11. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is so powerful for us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? The principle remains throughout the Bible, and Jesus is teaching his disciples exactly what Moses was teaching the people of Israel. If you seek God, you will find him. God hasn't changed. He's merciful, and we can still call upon him. And therein lies the exhortation for us. Let us never forget that we have been made a promise by God that he will always be there. We can always call upon him in prayer. And if we are faithful, he will answer our prayers, and he will never forsake us. So coming back to 2 Chronicles and chapter 16 this time, we see that 21 peaceful years have passed since Asa made his covenant with all the people to seek the Lord. So 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 1, we see that a threat arises from Israel. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go in or come out into Asa, king of Judah. However, this time we see that instead of relying on God, as he'd done previously with the Ethiopian host that we read about, instead Asa pays the king of Syria to break his agreement with Israel and help him. And although the venture is successful, we see that there are consequences for Asa. So verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 16, we see that news arrives from God via the prophet Hanani, and we see that it's not good news. So verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 16. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from thenceforth thou shalt have wars." So we can see here the consequence is made plain. Asa had done foolishly because he hadn't relied on the Lord, and who had previously delivered him, as the prophet was reminding him, from the huge Ethiopian host. But because he'd relied on the king of Syria, then his peaceful reign was over, as we read, "Thou shalt have wars." So we see then that this negative turn appears to continue in Asa's life. So we read in verse 12 and 13 of 2 Chronicles 16 that he reacts. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 10, that Asa reacts angrily to the words of the prophet and puts him in prison. And then coming down to verse 12 and 13, we see that Asa finishes his life being diseased in his feet. So, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. So we can see then, once again in the life of Asa, this theme of seeking the Lord appears. However, this time what we have emphasized is that he didn't seek the Lord. He instead relied on the physicians. He relied on the knowledge of the people around at the time. So we might ask ourselves, why was Asa specifically diseased in his feet? And perhaps it's because Asa had turned away from seeking the Lord, that his very mode of physically seeking had become diseased. Unfortunately, Asa did not seek the Lord in his diseased state, even though we have emphasized that his disease was exceeding great, and as a consequence, his life comes to an end. However, whatever failings Asa had in his later life, we know that God forgave him, as he forgives us. As we read in the previous chapter and verse 17, so that's 2 Chronicles 15, verse 17. "But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." We have, therefore, in the life of Asa, a key lesson for us. We must continue to seek God throughout our lives. He will not forsake us if we do. He will always be there for us. And as we turn towards the emblems on the table, we remember that it's only through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus that we have been blessed with the opportunity to seek God. Let us never cease to seek our God. The Lord is with you, why be with him? And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.